We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. WILLPLEDGE.ORG. Now here's your program.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 28th day of October, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Paul Cooley. He's at AD Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Matt Blaisdell of the Andersons Climbers Facility in Delphi, Indiana. In today's agricultural news, some Corn Belt states are asking for federal disaster aid due to the continuing rainfall. Beef producer industry execs want USDA to approve irradiation to prevent E. coli contamination. And there's a move afoot on Capitol Hill to lock the estate tax down at 2009 levels. Dave Dickey will be along in a moment with these and many more ag news stories. And then we'll talk with Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City, and it all happens as we finish up this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Lernard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
In Chicago, on this Wednesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. December wheat, 8.5 cents lower, $4.94¾ settlement price. The March soft red settled 513¾, down 8¼. And the May at 526¼, down 7¾. December Kansas City wheat at 502¼, down 8¼. Back in Chicago from the CME Group, December corn futures settled 369, a penny and three quarters lower. The March corn at 381½, down 1½, and May at 390½, down a penny and a quarter. July corn futures $3.99½ lower. September at 405, down three quarters. Soy complex now. November bean futures 968½, a nickel lower. January at 970½, down 6 cents. The March at 971¼, down 7¼. And the May futures at 967¼, down 7. July soybeans at 968¼, down 7. December bean meal at 291.30, up 370. December bean oil at 36.86, down 62. October live cattle futures from the CME, 85.55, 57½ cents lower. December down 17½ at 86.92½. The October feeders at 93.65 were 20 lower. November's at 95.50, down 35, and December lean hog futures at 55.95, up 52½ cents. You are listening to the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like on the afternoon. Settlement prices are in from the crude oil. December futures at $77.46 a barrel, down $2.09. November ethanol at $1.95½, 2½ cents lower. Natural gas at $4.25, down 30¾ cents. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.98¢, down 8¼ cents. Heating oil now, diesel fuel, $1.99¢, down 5¢. And the gold futures today, a settlement price down $4.80 at $10,029.90 in the lead option October contract. The Dow Jones Industrial Average at 9,800 even. It's just about 81 points lower on the day. The U.S. dollar at 74.43. That's 0.29 higher. And the CRB index on the afternoon is currently trading down 5.23 at 270.74 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like tonight. Partly to mostly cloudy skies. This is actually for Urbana-Champaign. The low of 47. The wind from the southeast at 6 to 12 miles an hour. Tomorrow, a high of 66 degrees, mostly sunny early and then becoming cloudy and breezy. The wind from the southeast at 12 to 24 miles an hour. And then tomorrow night, cloudy, rain, heavy at times, and perhaps some thunderstorms. A low of 57. And Friday for Champaign-Urbana, cloudy, some rain early. A chance of a few showers. That'll happen later on. The high of 61 on Friday. mostly cloudy and low of 45 Friday night, and Saturday, mostly cloudy, the high of 58. And that'll happen once again under mostly cloudy skies on Saturday. That, of course, is Halloween. More on the weather when we get to the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Wednesday afternoon. Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois, joins us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, Paul.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, another day, and it's down again in Chicago. Is that just because there's enough grain around and a little harvest here and a little harvest there? Outside markets are having an influence. What do you find?
Well, the market was extremely overbought. The durable goods orders up 1%. New home loan sales are down 0.6%. Commodity funds are extremely long corn and beans. They're still short wheat, but they were sellers. The bounce out of the big recovery, it seems to be slowing down some. The dollar has been up for 5 days. And when they're able to run, the farmers are full throttle, pushing their bean combines full throttle. One person I heard, you know, they're renting more combines and trying to get them harvested. The weather forecast is definitely better. The 6 to 10 and the 14 day is also better, above normal temps and below normal or normal precipitation. In the future, however, we are going to see probably an inch and a half to 3 inches of rain south of Mattoon into the southern and eastern part of Indiana towards Friday.
Well, maybe we should talk about what farmers should have done, what they ought to be doing now. I know that last week you finally were thinking pull the trigger on cash sales. That would have been at $4 and $10. And I did have a farmer say, well, it never reached that. And I was thinking, well, that's December and November. But in that area, and now we've backed off 30 cents from that in the corn. And what do we do at this point?
Well, the big factor is that that with the hedging opportunities and deferred sales and grain storage, there was, you know, definitely that opportunity to get those higher percentile prices locked in. There's more to just looking at the cash bid and getting the most out of your grain return. The big million-dollar headache is we are definitely seeing the moisture drop. You know, maybe it's not the official historic drop that we normally see, but definitely in the last 5 days, we're hearing the word 2% moisture drop in the corn. A person does have to be a processor dry your corn and store it to get the most benefits out of it. Maybe get the old 40-year-old grain dryer out of the shed that hasn't been used for quite a while, or see if you can't put an extra dryer burner on the grain dryer to make it happen. My general impression is the continuation of wet corn is historically bearish. My feeling is that we will see an increase of corn acres next year. Exports of corn seem to be the government's emphasizing corn exports in the export arena. The only really bright demand sector is, of course, the ethanol usage. The beans, on the other hand, China has slowed down their imports of beans temporarily. South America is full throttle on more soybean production. My opinion is that unchanged bean acreage next year, you know, is probably neutral to bearish as well. So a person did have some tremendous opportunities. Now, the marketplace got overbought. They were worried about a weak dollar. The weather market was very scary, still is. And, you know, once again means that the commodity funds do rule Chicago. You know, unfortunately, the delivery process maybe is a little bit rough in wheat. And I even think, you know, cash delivery in corn, beans, and wheat isn't the worst thing in the world that could happen as far as stabilizing some of these runaway markets.
Yeah. Can I go back something
sure.
you said about more corn acres next year? Now, there will be an awful lot of producers that think that that can't necessarily be right, especially in the area that we're from, in the eastern part of Illinois, in the central part of Illinois, southern part of Illinois, parts of Indiana, who are thinking, well, there won't be any fall tillage. How could it possibly be that there could be more corn acres next year than there are this year?
Well, there's going to be several million acres of CRP acres. There's going to be less wheat. And never underestimate the ability of the farmer to plant grain. Price cheaper soybeans next year will probably be a factor. The farmer does love to plant corn. And 2 years ago, or four years ago at the Farm Progress Show, there is a certain group of farmers that have it down and they like to plant corn. There was some, you know, white mold and some issues with the soybeans. And the soybean crop is, of course, that we are of the opinion that it could even be a record crop in some counties, key counties in the state of Illinois. We think the government probably underestimated the crop on bean yields. But the general feeling is that with more acres out there in the mix, that we will see more acres of corn planted as well. Now, I realize that the idea of the 50-50 rotation is popular in some communities. But if you're paying cash rent, it's awfully hard to justify soybeans as far as grossing the most dollars when it's all said and done. And, you know, let's just take, for example, if you did sell $4 corn at 220 bushels to the acre, it's still a pretty darn good return.
All right. And one other issue there
yep.
Related, and this would support the idea, I suppose, that there would be more corn acres. The folks in Iowa and Minnesota have not suffered through SDS before, or very much of it, and apparently that's pretty widespread, and they have pretty rough taste in their mouth about soybeans, I think, this year, too.
Yeah, and spring tillage, I think, is an issue that somebody is putting a rainbow or hanging their hat on, and I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't play that game right now because, there, you know, the Iowa crop and Minnesota crop, and, you know, they're harvesting out there, too.
Okay, thanks so much.
Have a profitable day.
Hey, you too. That's Paul Cooley. He's with ADM Investor Services out of Oakland, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Wednesday afternoon.
Support comes from the Westchester Group in Champaign, an agricultural asset management firm specializing in the acquisition, management, and disposition of agricultural investments for institutional, corporate, and individual clients. Information at 800-607-6888 or at westchester-group.com.
You are listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason, and this is Public Radio for the Farming World. If you'd like to hear more from us, you can always do that online at willag.org. That's willag.org. While you're there, do two things. First, listen to some of our other ag programming, and secondly, sign up for our free weekend newsletter. It's over on the right-hand side of the page. Your director of ag programming, who will be here in a moment, Dave Dickey, with the Ag News, also pins that particular newsletter. It's a great marketing newsletter. It's free. All you have to do is hit subscribe on the right-hand side of the page, and if you don't like it, come back and hit unsubscribe. It's that easy at willag.org. One other note. If you can't hear us on the radio or find us on the web, how about dialing this number, 217-333-3434. We call it our mobile analyst portal. It's just voicemail with the numbers from the opening markets and the closing markets and a bit of analysis updated at 10:15 and 3:15 daily. Now here's Dave.
in agricultural news, states are beginning to ask for disaster status from USDA due to heavy rains, floods, and other wet weather issues for the first half of the 2009 growing season. More designations are expected to come as the rains continue. October declarations for wet weather in Corn Belt states included 28 counties in Missouri, 10 in South Dakota, 8 in Mississippi, and 6 in Minnesota. To date, 175 counties and 9 corn and soybean growing states have received disaster designations due to the 2009 season's wet weather. The U.S. beef industry is renewing its push to get the USDA to act on a years-old request to use irradiation on beef carcasses to kill harmful pathogens such as E. coli bacteria. On the sidelines of the Worldwide Food Expo, meat industry officials yesterday said that irradiating beef carcasses would be an important tool to lessen contamination. Jim Hodges, executive vice president of the American Meat Institute, says, quote, "It is now time for USDA to act on our petition." U.S. House Majority Leader Steny Hoyer says he supports a move to permanently fix the estate tax at 2009 levels, and he expects it will be adopted by Congress before the end of the year. The House legislation would continue the 2009 estate tax parameters indefinitely. It would exempt estate wealth under $3.5 million or up to $7 million for a married couple, and the tax inheritances above that amount at 45%. Some lawmakers, though, are advocating a more generous exemption, lifting the threshold to $5 million for individuals and lowering the effective rate charged to 35%. The National Cattlemen's Beef Association supports that second option. Federal officials say the first broadband stimulus grants won't be awarded until December, a month later than expected. The delay is the latest setback for the broadband grant program, which has drawn criticism for being laden down with so many rules and conditions that the nation's largest internet providers, AT&T and Comcast, and other smaller phone and cable companies, did not bother applying for the funds. Federal officials are considering a number of changes to the program, including delaying the next application deadline so that changes can be made that would allow more rural areas to become eligible for funding. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and Commodity Week, both programs you can listen to anytime you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. Now, up next, you know, fall is the time for pumpkins, and Illinois is the pumpkin patch king. I'll have more on why the state is the number one producer of that type of gourd. Did I say gourd? Of course, a pumpkin is a squash. We'll hear more in a moment. Pumpkins are the most valuable vegetable crop grown in the state of Illinois, grossing more than $160 million each season. The state provides nearly all of the processing pumpkins used for pumpkin pie filling in the United States and sends jack-o'-lantern pumpkins throughout the Midwest. One of the people responsible for the success of the Illinois pumpkin industry is Mohammed Bamadoust. He's a vegetable crop plant pathologist at the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign and does research on the control of disease in pumpkins.
Here in Illinois, as you see, I am testing some of the chemicals, either experimental or already registered, for control of powdery mildew, bacterial spot, and all other diseases. And some of them works very well, some of them works poorly. And as you see in the plot, some of the plants still growing green and some of them covered with the powder, white powder, is powdery mildew.
It is very hard to underestimate the value of the Illinois research to pumpkin processors and producers. It wasn't all that long ago that the whole of the industry was on the verge of collapse because of a disease problem. The OVI stepped in, and Mohammed Babadoust and his colleagues found a solution, one that has kept the industry in Illinois.
We roughly grow and process 90% of canned pumpkin or processing pumpkins. Even that, I could go up to 92%. I'm a little bit conservative putting in 90%. Basically, almost all processing pumpkins are grown and processed in Illinois.
That happens at a couple of plants, including the Libby's facility in the nation's pumpkin capital, Morton, Illinois. For U of I Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Tim Wells in Moline at 309-797-7369. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender. Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. Usually we talk with the folks at the Andersons at their Climbers facility in Delphi, Indiana. They're in a meeting this afternoon. As Luck is with me today. Rather than being on hold, I'll be on the line with Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. Let's see if that happens to be the case. Good afternoon to you, Jackie. How are you today?
Well, I'm good, Todd. How are you?
Hey, Luck is with me. Thank you very much for joining us on very short notice. We're on live, of course. I need a quick thought with about a minute and a half of what you saw in the marketplace today.
Well, I think basically the marketplace itself is extremely confused. We looked at the crop reports that came in. You know, we know we're very, very far behind, and yet I think the market is more focused right now on outside markets. They're concerned that the American dollar is going to rise, and it certainly didn't help that crude oil was down and is down $2.24 right now. I think there's more profit taking came out today, and there's hesitancy for anybody to step in front of this. You look at December corn, I think 354.5 as a testing spot certainly should be good support, 954 on beans. And so nobody's too sure where they want to go. The dollar also can't make up its mind. It is just a little bit higher. But I think the uncertainties when you look at the outside markets have got people a little concerned. And, you know, the housing numbers weren't great. That's just a circumstance that we have to deal with, whether we like it or not. Even though it looks miserable in the harvesting area, the outside markets still dominate at this point in time.
Well, thank you very much. And we'll wait, of course, with bated breath for the November crop production report and then for the grain stocks report. Appreciate you taking the time on short notice with us this afternoon, Jackie.
No problem, Todd. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson, back in 2 minutes.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. The number of students staying home sick with the flu is multiplying nationwide. Last week alone, the number of schools that shut down climbed daily. By Friday, the U.S. Department of Education said 351 schools had been closed, affecting more than 125,000 students. One of the schools to close for a few days was St. Charles East High School in suburban Chicago. Officials there say so many kids were out sick, 800 of 2,200, it was impossible to operate. And Watseka High School was closed for 2 days last week when more than 100 of its 330 students were out sick. But Iroquois County School Superintendent Steve Bianchetta says attendance has been fairly normal since school reopened on Monday. He says a few students were treated by doctors as presumed H1N1 or spine flu cases. Illinois Department of Human Services says it has no evidence of two highly paid former employees doing any work other than acting as chauffeurs. That position contradicts earlier statements by Secretary Carol Adams. She was recently appointed by Governor Pat Quinn to an international trade post. She'd claimed the two men weren't simply drivers, but she refused to prove it by releasing examples of the men's other work. Now, after another request from the Associated Press, Adams' agency says there's nothing to release. No work products exist, and Adams won't talk. After several requests for comment, no one at DHS or in Quinn's office will explain the discrepancy or whether Quinn has discussed the matter with her. University of Illinois President Joseph White and former Chancellor Richard Herman are both moving into new six-figure jobs at the school. Their contracts clear the way for each to become a tenured faculty member. White will make about $300,000 a year, while Herman will make $244,000. U of I spokesman Tom Hardy says such deals are common for top leaders in the academic world. But Andy Shaw of Illinois' watchdog group Better Government Association says the university shouldn't be so generous with administrators involved in the admissions uproar. Faculty member Nick Brabulis says the two have already paid a high price in resigning under pressure. Two teens charged with robbing a Northwest Indiana couple whose bodies were found in an Illinois forest preserve and ordered held on $250,000 bond. No murder charges have been filed against 17-year-old Rio Thompson and 18-year-old Gregory Brooks Jr. The two Hammond residents appeared in Lake County Court today on several other charges. Not guilty pleas were entered. I'm Jeff Bossert.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast on this Wednesday afternoon. Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated joins us from his Kansas City office. Hi, Drew. How are you today?
I'm doing well. I hope you're doing the same.
I am doing very well. Those skies are cloudy. I guess we're getting used to that here. I thought maybe we might get a bit more sunshine today, but cloud, and I'll bet rainfall comes in eventually. What do you see in the next 24 hours and then the 3 or 4 days after that?
Well, it does look like it's downhill once again from here. It seems like every Wednesday when I'm talking to you, it's downhill. Eventually, we should be at the bottom of this thing, don't you think?
Well, it's awful deep ravine right now.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And it's going to get a little deeper because we are going to see more widespread rain developing across a big part of the Midwest as we go through this next 2 or 3 days. A fairly vigorous frontal boundary right now setting up across the plains will work its way into the Delta and also into the Midwest. And it will set the stage for a widespread precipitation event that will be getting underway in the plains tonight and working its way into the Midwest on Thursday. Tomorrow, we'll look for rain crossing over the Mississippi River probably about this time tomorrow, and will be spreading very quickly across Illinois. And by the time we get to tomorrow night, it will be raining in just about all areas in the eastern portions of the Midwest with a lot of heavy rain down in the Delta. The lower Mississippi River Basin area is advertised still to get anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of rainfall with some localized amounts going way over 5 inches. If that occurs down there, the problems to crops is going to be heightened once again with more damage for all of the crops that are remaining in the fields down there. That includes rice as well as corn, or as a late corn crop, and soybeans, sorghum, and cotton. But for the Midwest, we're also going to have our share of wet weather. Probably 1 to 3 inch rains are possible in the lower parts of the region, southern Illinois, southern Indiana, and Kentucky in particular. And then we'll find some lighter amounts in the range of half inch to an inch and a half occurring across northern portions of the eastern Midwest. The western Corn Belt will also be impacted by the storm. Unfortunately, for the northwesternmost parts of the region, it'll be a heavy snow event. We'll expect 6 to 10 inches of snow to accumulate across portions of the region from western Nebraska through central South Dakota into eastern North Dakota, and near blizzard conditions may occur for a few hours Friday night into Saturday morning up there in the far northwestern part of the region. So it's a big mess, but I do have good news. It does look like we will be seeing improved weather as we go into next week.
Hey, speaking of the Northwest, you talked about blizzard conditions. Usually that comes along with a lot of wind. Will the wind bluster through other parts of that upper Midwest or Iowa, North Dakota, and Minnesota, possibly causing some down corn?
I think that this particular storm system will come just close, but not quite close enough to cause a damage situation like that. We will have winds of 20 to 40 miles per hour in Gus in particular. But the storm system looks to me like it may actually weaken in future model runs, so this is as strong as it's going to get. So I'm going to put down a bet here that the system will not be quite a blizzard and that we'll see 20 to 30-mile-an-hour winds, which will probably be okay. We'll get by.
Hey, you're laying a bet down. That's what the farmers do with the weather every year. Thank you so much this afternoon for being with us, Drew.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Hey, you too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated out of Kansas City. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report on a Wednesday afternoon to take up the agricultural weather forecast. You can hear it again if you'd like on our website. The address is willag.org. You have a good afternoon, and stay safe. I'm Todd Gleason.